We have a couple of themes that we're working with. Our regular Bible study theme, when you all allow me to be your Bible study teacher on Wednesdays, we are in a series, Living by the Word. That's on our Wednesday nights when we don't have our lit ministers. And we started a preaching series on last Sunday, Back to Basics. Back to Basics. So we're going to continue in that theme, if that's okay. Amen. Amen. Back to basics. So Lord, you formed me out of clay, and for your glory I was made. So I'm asking that you would use this vessel in this moment as you choose. And Lord, let my life, let it praise you. We're asking for clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Lord, I'm asking that you would speak to us, that you would speak through us, that you would speak to all those that will have an ear to hear what your spirit has to say to the church. And help us, Lord God, to be doers of your word and not hearers only. We ask and receive and thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. We count this as done in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to basics. And the acronym that we believe the Lord has placed in our hearts and in our mind for basics is simply believing, accepting, surrendering in Christ's service. That's where the basics come in. All those letters in the word basics mean something. We dealt briefly last Sunday on the believing part. And we're going to deal with this morning, hopefully, the accepting part. And the accepting part is closely related to the believing. Because if you don't believe something, you're not going to accept it. Right? So we see how hopefully this theme will run together. And we're living in a day and time where there's a lot of words being put out. A lot of people are talking about different things, and a lot of people are trying to define certain things and trying to define what's going on and trying to define who they are and what they're all about. And some people have influence over other people, and there are different powers that be, small p in powers that be, that would want to turn the mind and turn the direction of people, especially those who may be impressionable. There are things that we have to guard against when we're dealing with our children and our grandchildren, because the society is trying to turn them in a direction where they won't even acknowledge God. Society is trying to make normal the things that God is against. Society is trying to let them or tell them it is okay to self-identify. I don't want to chase that rabbit yet, but he might show up. And these things are in direct violation to the word of God, to the principle of God. So we have to be careful of whose opinion and perspective that we allow to find a resting place in our hearts and in our minds. And for the people of God, for the children of God, for those who are the recipients of biblical true salvation, We have to accept the fact that we are who and what God says that we are. And we have to stand on that no matter what the onslaught of various changing opinions of the world or the trends of society or social media or whatever train of thought tries to bombard and attack our minds and distract us from our real purpose. And our real purpose is to glorify God. So as we deal with back to basics, I just want to hopefully this morning encourage us all to accept the Word of God and to accept and remind us of who we really are in God. Walk with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter number 4. Psalms 4 is where we will start our journey this morning. And we'll see how we progress in going back to basics, accepting. Psalm 4 and 3, I have the Amplified Classic version of the scriptures, but you can follow along in any version of the scripture that you have. This is what it says: "But know that the Lord has set apart for himself and given distinction to him who is godly, the man of loving kindness. The Lord listens and heeds when I call to him." So here, the writer of this particular psalm is encouraging the readers, and as we look at this living word of God, it is encouraging us that God has set apart for himself and given distinction to him that is godly. So you need to know that if you are endeavoring to be a godly person, God has set you apart for himself. That is a part of our process of sanctification. We are set aside and set apart for God, to give glory to God. And the fact that this verse is saying that not only has God set apart for himself those that are godly, the man of loving kindness, he said that the Lord listens and heeds when I call to him. So we have confidence and encouragement that if we are endeavoring to be godly, if we are endeavoring to be godly in our lifestyle, godly in our character, God listens to our prayers. He hears us and listens to our prayers. And that's a good thing. Now, we just have to accept that. So the next time we pray, we should have an added measure of faith in our prayer, right? And not wonder, is God listening? We can say, yes, he is. He is listening. The Bible says in one place that his ear is open to the cry of his people. And if we are godly, if we are endeavoring to live a godly life and to walk in godly character, we need to know and accept the fact that God has set us apart for himself. And since he has set us apart for himself, then our allegiance should be to God and him alone. We cannot be divided in our minds. We cannot be divided in our thinking. We cannot be divided in our loyalty. We belong to God. Those of us who are saved, we've been bought with a price. And the scripture says that we need to glorify our Lord in our bodies. So our bodies, again, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives here. If you have the Holy Ghost, God lives in you. And he has set us apart for himself. Accept that. There's no changing of that. And since that is the case, of every true biblically born again believer, we can stand on that. We can stand on that, accept that. I don't care what the world tries to say. I don't care what the enemy of our souls will try to make you think that is nothing different about you. We know that Satan is a liar and he is the father of lies. All right, so we need to accept the fact that God has set us apart for himself. We belong to him. We're special to him. All right, walk with me to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. We're going back to basics. We are moving to accept everything that God has said. Romans chapter number 8, beginning at verse number 1 in the Amplified Classic Version. This is what it says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's a comma there, so let me pause there. This is a great fact. There's no condemnation, none. He said now. See, this is why it's so important to receive biblical salvation, because no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the thing is, if you're not in him, you need to get in him, because once you get in him, then you are under the principle and practice of this word that says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus. Accept that, because the accuser of the brethren, Satan, is going to try to condemn you on every turn. But we have to know what God has declared in his word, and we have to accept his word as true. Every word of God is true, and he is a shield. He is a protector of those who put their trust in him. All right? Then the Bible continues in verse number 8, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. So he says, this kind of mirrors this verse here that we read in Psalms, to him that is godly. So if we're godly, we're not walking after the dictates or the demands or the impulses or the direction and urges of the flesh. We don't walk like that, because we know that the flesh is at enmity, is an enemy of the Spirit of God. Our human nature, our human reasoning, without the influence or direction or control of the Spirit of God, is in direct opposition to God. We need to accept that. We need to accept that. It says, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, right? It's not about our own opinion, but we have to be led by the Spirit of God. Verse number 2 of Romans 8 says, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and of death. Aren't you glad that you're free from the law of sin and death? Because we know that the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have to understand that those of us who have accepted and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, those of us who have obeyed the command of the gospel, because remember when Jesus first came in his public ministry, he said, repent, change your heart, change your mind, change your thinking, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So those of us who believed this gospel and those of us who obeyed this gospel, and we were We experienced repentance, and we were baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, and God has filled us with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. We are not under any condemnation because we're in Christ Jesus. Huh? We're in Christ Jesus. So we have a new law, and this is the law of the Spirit of life, and the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. So we have a new being. We are a new creation. Accept the fact that old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Yes, we can remember some of the stuff, and that's all we're gonna do is remember it, but we're not gonna revisit it, we can remember it in a way where we can give God praise and say, I'm not what I used to be. The things that I used to do, I don't do them no more. Now, you can't say that if you're still doing some of those things. But you have to accept the fact that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Drop down to verse number 35 of this 8th chapter of Romans. Here's something that some of us may struggle with from time to time, because we're in a warfare. Yes, we have the Spirit of God, those of us who've been saved and we have received biblical salvation, but we still have to deal with our humanness. We still have to deal with our flesh. We still have to deal with our human appetites, if you will. And sometimes, if we're not careful, sometimes if we're not walking as close to God as we should, sometimes our humanness has a tendency of getting the best of us every now and then. And hopefully, it is only every now and then. So there's a struggle that's going on. Even the great apostle Paul said, when I would do good, evil is always present. So we have to understand that this is a real struggle. This is a real battle, because my human mind wants to take over. My humanness wants to sometimes, our humanness sometimes wants to defend ourselves. Our humanness sometimes wants to set so-and-so straight. Yeah. Our humanness wants to swell up and say, they must don't realize who they're dealing with. And our humanness will even formulate a few sentences that might say, You glad. And we might even use an L word. You lucky I'm saved. Because if I wasn't. And see, that's that flesh creeping up. But we have to bring that flesh under subjection. We have the power, if we yield to the Spirit of God that is in us, to muzzle that flesh. But we got to choose to do it. We got to choose to do it. So in our human struggle, and when we slip and mess up, thank God for repentance. Thank God that we can go to God and get it right. But Paul said in Romans 8 and 35, Amplified Classic, who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? I'm so thankful for the love of Jesus Christ, because if truth be told, if we would look at some of the stuff that we did even after we got saved, we'd have gotten rid of our own self a long time ago. But who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, or calamity and distress, or persecution, or hunger, or destitution, or peril, or sword. There's a lot of things that's happening here in this verse, and the apostle is asking a question, who is going to separate us from Christ's love? So even if we go through suffering, Jesus still loves us. Even in affliction, seasons of affliction, Jesus still loves us. Huh? Calamity is not going to separate us. Huh? Distress, persecution, destitution, peril or sword. Verse 36 says, even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. That means, that sounds like we're dying daily. Huh? We're dying daily. Nobody said that living for God was going to be a cakewalk. You think you got trouble, you give your life to God. That's when you get on the enemy's hit list. That's when you get on his nerves, if you will. You get on Satan's nerves. See, if he got you, he got you. He ain't got to worry about trying to get you. But once you make up your mind that you're through letting the devil pull your strings and that you're going to live for God, that's when the fight really starts. Because when we was clubbing and we were living wild and foul, we had no problem with the devil because we was running with him. But when we made up on our mind, and thank God for a moment of spiritual clarity when somebody told us about Jesus, and then when we said, okay, this is what I need to do, that's when the trouble started. That's when the battle intensified because the devil lost one. And now he's trying to do everything he can to get us to go back, but we ain't going back. Verse 37, Romans 8 said, yet amid all these things, all of what things? All those things that may come against us through all the suffering, affliction, tribulation, calamity, distress, persecution, hunger, destitution, peril, or sword. Amidst all these things, so watch now, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. This is what we have to accept. We're more than conquerors, even when we got to deal with all that stuff. We are more than conquerors. Verse 38 says, for I am persuaded. Another word we can use, possibly a synonym for persuaded, is I have accepted this. For I am persuaded, watch now, beyond doubt. See, there's no doubt. Paul is saying, ain't no doubt in my mind. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending, what might happen, and threatening. Well, that's it for you. Nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else, watch, in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you believe that? We have to accept this. This is back to basics. We got to accept this. He says, I'm persuaded. I'm beyond doubt. I'm sure. Death may come, or things I got to deal with in life, it's still not going to separate me from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus. Christ loves us with an everlasting love. You have to accept the fact that you are loved by God. Because too many of us have wasted too much time looking for love. Can I borrow a song? In all the wrong places. Some of us somebody's still looking. I'm not going to chase that rabbit, but he just pass through here. Somebody is still looking for love in the wrong place. God is love. So if you're looking for love, find God, then you got love. Because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We have to accept the fact that we are more than conquerors. Accept that. You're more than a conqueror. See, the devil wants to keep us depressed. He wants to keep our opinion of ourselves low. Now, we're not going to be arrogant. We're not going to be proud and boastful, but we have to accept we are who God says we are. That's just it. We're children of God. Huh? And as children of God, we have rights and privileges that God gives us. Huh? We can stand on his word. Huh? We can ask, expecting God to hear us. Huh? We can walk in victory. Huh? We can encourage one another. We can pray for one another. We can fellowship with one another. Huh? We can share the good news of Jesus Christ. Because that's a part of our responsibility. All right? Walk with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. We have to accept this word. We have to accept what God says. Now here we're going to look at some things that we used to be involved in. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 9. Let's start there. Let's take this short walk here. Paul again speaking to the saints at Corinth. Amplified Classic in verse number 9 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous and wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God?" Asking a question. Don't you know this? So if you keep doing wrong, you will have no share in the kingdom of God. Then he continues, "Do not be deceived, misled." Watch now, he's going to come up with a list. "Neither the impure and immoral," there's a comma, "nor idolaters." Anything you put up above God, that's your idol, even if it's your own opinion. If you put it up before God and think what you think matters most, that's an idol. So don't be deceived, misled, neither the impure. If you got impure thoughts, if you behaving impure, if all of your activity is immoral, nor idolaters. All right, he's going a little farther. Nor adulterers. Keep to your own spouse. Well, since we're in California, let me just clarify a little better. One man, one woman. I don't care what you identify as. Nor adulterers. That's married folks moving outside of marriage and getting with somebody else. Nor those who participate in homosexuality. You see that? That's the word of God. Accept it. Nor cheats, verse 10, swindlers and thieves, nor greedy graspers, nor drunkards, nor foul-mouthed revilers and slanderers. All you cussers, cuss like a sailor and ain't never been in the Navy. Nor you foul-mouthed revilers, slanderers, nor extortioners and robbers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. Accept that. So if you fall into that category, you're in the right place this morning because you can repent. But God is just being truthful with you. Don't fool yourself. It ain't about shaking some preacher's hand. No. But watch what verse number 11 says. Remember, he's talking to a church. Verse 11 says, "And such were some of you once." You see that? "And such were some of you once, but you were washed clean." Aren't you glad you were washed clean? How many saw themselves in those verses? Come on, let's just be real. Come on, "And such were some of you." Once. But you were washed clean. Thank God. You are purified by a complete atonement for sin and made free from the guilt of sin. How were you washed? Because when we were in our sins, when we were doing what we wanted to do, when we thought we were calling our own shots, and we were doing whatever we were big and bad enough to do, Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross before we even got here. He went to the cross over 2,000 years ago, and he allowed himself to be persecuted. I'm talking about Jesus now. He allowed himself to be humiliated. He allowed himself to be beaten, to be tortured, and he allowed himself, the Bible says, he took upon himself the sins of many. God poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ. He took all that punishment. He who knew no sin, Jesus was the sinless sacrifice that a righteous and holy God would accept. He was the innocent Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity now to be in a right relationship with God. I'm thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the fact that we once were some of those things, but we have been washed clean. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? He continues this verse. He said, you were purified by a complete atonement for sin. Jesus made an atonement for our sin on the cross of Calvary, and we were made free from the guilt of sin. Watch, he says, and you were consecrated, set apart. Isn't that what Psalms 4th chapter said? He said, you were consecrated, set apart. You were hallowed. God made us hallowed. And that points me back to when Jesus was teaching them how to pray. He said, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, set apart. Holy is thy name. Do you not realize that when we receive the Holy Ghost, God hallowed us and put his Holy Spirit in us, in these earthen vessels? And he said, you were set apart, you were hallowed, and you were justified. Oh, glory, hallelujah. You were pronounced righteous. Listen, we were justified at Calvary. We were justified and we were pronounced righteousness, not by anything that we did, but we were justified by trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God. We have to accept the fact that we are justified, and Jesus is our justifier. So accept the fact that so when we slip up and when we mess up, we don't stay down. God has said if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So remind yourself when you occasionally mess up, and sometimes we do because we're in this flesh. All we have to do is be truthful and honest with God and say, God, I messed up. I sinned, and I sinned against thee and thee only. And God has promised in his word that he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So accept the fact. So when the devil will come, or maybe somebody that might be in the world, and they saw us mess up on the job, they saw us mess up on the block, they saw us mess up on the campus, and they say, I thought you were this, and I thought you were that. Just be honest and say, yes, I still am, but I got a remedy. I'm not going to, listen, if you cover your sin, you ain't going to prosper. That's in the word. So just be bold enough to say, yeah, you saw me, I slipped up, I messed up. But the difference between me and you is
I got an advocate with the Father. I got a high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. So all I got to do is acknowledge my sin. All I got to do is confess my sin and forsake my sin. And God, he'll wash it away and he'll put it into a sea where he won't even remember it no more. That's a part of the blessing that we have as being saints of the living God. And I bless God for that. I thank God for that because we don't hit the mark all the time. But I thank God for his grace. And I thank God for his mercy that we're justified. God pronounced us righteous. Oh, because our own righteousness, we know what the word says. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags. But I'm standing by faith. I'm standing by grace. We're standing by faith. We're standing by grace only on the righteousness of God. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I'm satisfied that God, he has renounced us clean. Aren't you glad that you've been clean? You've been washed clean by the word of God. Accept that. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Accept the fact. Thank you, Jesus, that this outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Except the fact that I got to wear this world as a loose fitting garment. Except the fact that I want my sins to go before me. That's why I got to confess. Because when I stand before God, I don't want nothing coming up behind me and say, you didn't take care of this and you didn't take care of that. So every day before you close your eyes, you need to talk to God. Every night and say, God, look, I'm looking back over my life. What I did today, I ain't worried about yesterday or I ain't even got to tomorrow. But there were some things that I messed up, God, you know. So you got to talk to God like that. God, you know I messed up here around 10:15 this morning. I messed up. And then I messed up about 1:45 this afternoon and 5:45 this evening. I said something that I had no business saying. But God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I ain't making any excuse. My flesh just got the best of me. But God, before I shut my eyes, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. Because I want to sleep good tonight. And if I wake up in your presence, I want to have already dealt with that thing that I did at 10:15, 1:30, and 6:45. I don't want no trouble when I rise. And accept the fact what God has said in his word. God's word is true. He is a shield and a buckler to him that put their trust in him. So I'm trusting God enough to come clean with God. I trust God enough that I can cast all of my cares. I trust God enough. I can bring him all of my hang-ups. I can bring him all of my slip-ups. I can bring him all of my mess-ups. And he won't give up on me. Oh, God, I thank you. I'm just going to accept your word. I don't understand it all. I don't deserve it all. But I'm glad for it all. And I will accept it all. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. We got to get back to basics and stop trying to figure God out. You ain't that smart. Just trust in his word. Believe on his word. Depend on his word. Live by his word. Obey his word. So here we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This came up in our reading of the Bible in our app. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation. You ought to praise God that you are a new creation. He is a new creature altogether. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, look at me now. Behold, you ought to go back home and look at yourself in the mirror and preach to yourself and say, behold, the fresh. Ain't I fresh? Yes, you are. If you are engrafted in Jesus, go home and look in your mirror and say, behold, the fresh and new has come. I thank God that old things have passed away, and behold, the fresh and the new has come. Accept the fact that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you used to do. The devil might try to pull up your X-Files and tell you you were an X this and an X that and an X this. And all you can say is, yes, I was. But I got a good lawyer, Jesus Christ. He paid the price for all of my sins. I was an ex this and an ex that, and such was all of us was ex something, but I'm accepting the fact that I am a new creation. So you got to encourage yourself sometimes, because if you go back on the block and you run into Man-Man and them, and Renee and them, and Nene and them, and Lil Mama and them, they remember when you used to run with them. And Man-Man and Nuck-Nuck is still back there on the corner doing what they used to do. But here you come, walking. You got glide in your stride and pep in your step. And they might come up to you and think it, because you may not look different, but inside you a new creation. And they might run up to you and say, what you need? You can tell Man-Man, I got what I need. His name is Jesus. You trying to sell me some crack? I want to give you the rock. And that rock is Jesus. Accept who you are in Christ. I hear God say, beloved, now are we the sons of God? So you got to understand who you are right now. Accept the fact you are a child of God right now. I don't care what you're facing. We all facing something, but you're still a child of God right now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Why? Because God is making us. God is perfecting us. God is molding us into the very image of Jesus Christ. So accept the fact I'm being changed. Accept the fact that I'm being renewed. Accept the fact God is chiseling some stuff off of me, because I can't take this stuff to glory. So God tells us to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Some things we're willing to work out, some things God gonna take out. Glory, hallelujah. So work on me, God. Search me. Turn your light from heaven on my soul. If you find anything, can I rewrite that? When you find anything, because we still here means we ain't there yet. So when you find anything in me, so see, I ain't got time. This ain't no look at your neighbor. This is a look in the mirror. I ain't got time to tell you look at your neighbor, because you could spend 24 hours, 7 days a week looking at yourself, because I got to look at myself. So when you find things, yeah, I mean, the song was nice, but the reality is there's some things in me that I want out. There's some things that has to come out. There's some things, plural, that got to come out. There's some things. Because there's some situations in life that reveal the things that's in us. I didn't know I was going to do that. I'm saved. Just got finished speaking in tongues, and now I'm thinking about cussing somebody out. There's some things. We're going to tell you the truth in here. There's some things. Anybody got some things? Okay. All right, let me put it in a version that so everybody can accept. Anybody got some cares? You got some cares that you don't care to talk about? You got some cares? Can I suggest? I know I can't make you do nothing. I'm just a bald-head preacher from Brooklyn. But can I suggest that you cast all your cares on the Lord? Just throwing that. He can catch them. He can catch all of our cares at the same time and won't drop one. But we got to accept that. We got to accept it. All right, I'm going to stop. I done wore my bones out. But we got to go back to basics. It is not complicated. Right. I started to say it ain't, but I got a couple degrees, so I want to speak properly for a change. It is not complicated. Not at all. We have to believe and accept. And if we live in the Lord's will, the next time I preach, we're going to talk about something that we wrestle with. And that's the S part of back to basics. Y'all know what it is? Surrendering. That even made some of us cringe when I just said the word. But that's back to basics. We got to believe. We got to accept. And then we got to surrender. Ooh. That's enough. I think we can put that in a thank you, a to-go container, and nibble on that. So let's get back to basics. It's not complicated. You just believe God, accept what God says as truth. What he says about himself and what he says about us. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. So just accept it. And make sure you rightly divide it. Don't be misappropriating stuff that, you know, we're not playing that game. And then the next time we stand before you, if the Lord allows, we're going to deal with surrender. Don't y'all stay home on the surrender part. But somebody can surrender today. Huh? The altar is open. You can surrender. You say, okay, that's it. I give up. I've been fronting. I've been playing. I've been half-stepping. But I'm through. I'm through. I'm through. I want to accept the sacrifice that Jesus made for me on Calvary. I want to accept the fact
that he died so that I might have life. I want to accept the fact that if I surrender all of who I am, with all my bumps and wrinkles and knocks, he can allow me to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. If that's you and you've never surrendered, you never repented of your sins, you never had a change of heart, never had a change of mind, you never stopped following your own mind and surrendered to Jesus, you never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you haven't surrendered yet. When you surrender, God will enter. When you really surrender, he will enter. If that's you, and you feel that you know it's time for you to surrender, you need to come. You need to come.